Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and my goodness, I'm sorry that we're running a little bit late today, and it had something to do with my telephone equipment, so my apologies to my guests that we have, as well as to you, my listeners. Life on purpose is what we're going to be talking about. This is an hour of Mind Power, so the guests that we bring to you usually have something specific and very special that empowers people in their daily lives. And Dr. Brad Swift has done exactly that with his book, Life on Purpose, Six Passages to an Inspired Life. Dr. Swift, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. My pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Now, you have a background that has been very much involved with business, but you decided that you really wanted to do something on your own, life on purpose. People would have a certain thought about that, a certain attitude about what that might mean. How did you find your purpose, your life on purpose? What was the journey that got you to the point where you said, I really have something to share with people, and this is what I want people to know about? What got you there?
Well, I think a big part of what got me here was first bottoming out in my life and feeling so empty and meaningless and without purpose that when I finally did recover from the burnout and realized that a big part of my turnaround was renewing that sense of purpose in my life, I realized how vitally important it was, not only in my life, but in many other people's lives. So I had two different parts of life, I guess you could say. One was initially starting out when I was just about 6 or 7 years of age, wanting to be a veterinarian, staying on that track all the way to graduating in my early to mid-20s from vet school. But then I found out at about 12 years in my practice as a veterinarian, I almost couldn't stand going into the office another day. So that burnout was severe to the point of my literally, thinking seriously, contemplating taking my own life before I luckily turned things around and brought more purpose and passion to my life again.
Well, that to me is a very poignant story, and I'm not going to go into the details because anyone that would get your book would be able to sit and read and experience that with you, but it was quite profound. And you said it took about 10 years, and you'd say it's like 10 years of awakening with a few long naps. Just that's a quaint way of describing it.
Yes, well, I'm one of the people that have clarity of purpose, but I use the conventional path that many people have used, which is the old trial and error method of trying to figure out what their purpose is. And while it can work, it can also take us much longer to get clear about our purpose than it needs to, which is part of the reason when I did get really clear that part of the way I wanted to express my own purpose was to assist other people on their own purposeful path, that I created this process that's outlined in the book, Life on Purpose, Six Passages to an Inspired Life, and have had the great fortune over the last about 12 years to guide literally thousands of people through this process to bring more clarity of purpose to their life, and then, provide them with the means in which to design their life to be a reflection of that purpose.
Let's talk a little bit more about your experience, because there was a woman by the name of Judy that had quite a significant impact on you as a person. Who was she, and why was she so significant in your turnaround?
Judy was my first exposure to a coach. I hired Judy. I initially interviewed Judy when I was in my veterinary practice. I was at that point where I wasn't quite sure where to go in my practice. And I remember very clearly in our initial interview where we met at my home, where I was talking to her about whether to hire her as my business consultant, she asked me a question that nobody, including myself, had ever asked, and that was, Dr. Swift, do you want to continue to be a veterinarian? And when I looked at that question, and really, honestly, and authentically, the answer was no. But I felt like if at that stage I had, if I just left the practice at that point, I would kind of be, you know, creeping out the back door. And I wanted to go out the top in my profession, which is the reason I hired Judy to help me build up my practice so I could go out having achieved that sense of accomplishment that I was really looking for.
So she helped you with that beginning. What made you decide you wanted to get into writing? What was the purpose that when you started working with Judy that you found really touched your heart and mind?
Well, the writing was part of it. You know, at that point, even before I hired Judy, I had begun to really find that I loved the whole process of writing. I would get up at, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning sometimes and write for a couple of hours before I got ready to go to work. And I was starting to have some early success, you know, with that writing. You know, nothing to write home about necessarily, but I do remember, you know, sending in an article to a little newsletter that was printed in Maine and getting a check back for $50. And, you know, that check, I was so proud of that check because even though it was not a lot of money, it did, you know, indicate that somebody was willing to pay me for my words and my thoughts.
And that's quite a profound experience because that automatically supports the very thing that you want to do.
Exactly, exactly.
Project purpose. How did that come about? And what did you do to initiate that and get it up off the ground?
Well, you know, I was already, by this point, I had sold my veterinary practice and had, you know, had a lot of success with my freelance writing, you know, particularly writing for national and regional magazines. And as I was getting clearer and clearer about my own life purpose, I wanted to bring that sense of purpose to my writing. So I created the what has turned out to be the first of many purpose projects. And I titled it Project Purpose. And if I had to do it again, I probably would have titled it something else. But Project Purpose was to write and publish articles about people living purposeful lives. And it, you know, one of the most amazing things about it was shortly after creating that project and starting to send out queries about some of the people that I wanted to showcase in these profiles, I got an assignment with a major publication, one that I had never written for, who actually offered to have me write a feature article for their publication, which I did, and just had an amazingly wonderful time writing it and visiting the people that I was interviewing and all that. And at the end of that whole process, received a check for twice of any one article that I did written before. So I knew I was on to something by following that passion that comes when one pursues one's purpose itself.
Absolutely. Now, you were called by someone out of the blue, and they said, is this life on purpose? How did that change your life?
Well, again, this came from the kind of the throwing my hat over the fence so that I had to follow it. I had an assignment, again, with another national publication to write an article about simple living in a complex world. And since a part of this whole notion that I had about creating a foundation or an institute that was based on, you know, the notion of living on purpose, part of our kind of theme was, you know, simple living as well. So at this point, you know, the whole notion of an institute called Life on Purpose was just that. It was a notion. It was an idea in my head and had a lot of notes in my computer. So that article had asked for a sidebar with some resources about simple living. And so somewhat on a fluke, but just kind of to put it out there and see what happened, I listed Life on Purpose as one of those resources. And shortly after the article came out in the magazine and the magazine hit the newsstands, I got a call from this gentleman from California. I remember very clearly, from California, very excited, and he, you know, I answered the phone like I normally did at that point, was just basically, hello, this is Brad. And he said, is this life on purpose? And I literally had to stop and kind of look around my office and to realize, yes, indeed, it was life on purpose. And he was so excited about this whole notion of living a life, a purposeful life of service, simplicity, and spiritual serenity. He asked me if I could send him some information. I said, I'd be happy to. Now, at that point, I didn't even have a business card, but you better believe by the end of that week, I had a business card and a brochure and plenty of information to send to the gentleman. And we've never looked back since then. That was in about, well, it's actually August of 1996, and we've now celebrated our 11th year in business.
Incredible. You bring out some interesting points of information, and I think in your book it is poignant because we live in a time where when you turn on the television, you're more than likely, no matter how many channels you switch to, are going to encounter subject matter of violence, subject matter that is dealing with how bad everything is. There are a few arenas of media that don't go there, but that's what you're bombarded with. It's like, look at this, look at that, look at the other, and you can't really change the world, and this is just the way it is, and so on and so forth. You say for us to check the news, it looks pretty bad, and we're killing each other in unprecedented numbers, and we're killing the earth. And here are some of the facts that you have in here. 94,000 cases of forcible rape occur in 2004. According to the Federal Bureau of Investigation, there were over 16,000 cases of homicide in the United States. Over 850,000 cases of aggravated assault were reported. And there's 17,000 to 100,000 species that vanish from our planet each year. And you said, for the sake of argument, let's assume the number is 50,000. And that there's a real emptiness. And I agree with you on many levels. I think that there is the other side, and that's what living with life on purpose is all about. And that is choice about where you want to put your attention, where you want to put yourself, and what you want your life to be. And that is what I found that was really very significant about your book, because it takes people becoming aware for themselves first before they really can do anything else for anybody else. Tell us about the six passages of the purposeful path. Let's start off with number one, preparing.
Well, again, the six passages, you know, what we are pointing to here is a process that, you know, we have offered to the world over the past about 12 years. And it's become a proven, systematic, spiritually based, and yet practical approach that has, as we said earlier, has assisted many people to first clarify their life purpose and live true to it. So you can think of it as a path between where you currently are in your life, how on or off purpose you might be, and where you ultimately can be and where many people long to be, which is where they're crystal clear about their life purpose and they're living true to it, you know, each and every day. So with any type of journey like this, between these two points, you know, one of the things that's important is to start off by being prepared for the journey. And that means getting a clear sense of where you are in your life, how on and off purpose you are, as well as getting a clear sense of what your destination is. What will that life on purpose be like and look like, you know, once you're there itself? So that's a good bit of what we cover in the book, with a number of evaluations, and one of my favorite is the Life on Purpose self-test, which begins on page 40, because it not only gives you a clear sense of where you presently are in your life, it gives you a good kind of guidepost as to kind of pointing to where you can bring more purpose and passion, you know, into your life as well.
You have a story in here that I really like, and it's about a young seeker of wisdom who traveled to the remote reaches of the world to learn enlightenment from the master. But before the master would even consider teaching him, he invited the young man to participate in the tea ceremony. Tell us what happened with that young man.
Well, this is a story that really points to one of the obstacles that can block people from really getting the most out of a book of this nature. And that the seeker of wisdom noticed that as the sage he had come to visit to find the secret of enlightenment was preparing the tea and started to pour it into the tea cup, that the cup started to overflow. And finally, you know, the seeker spoke up and said, "Master, Master, you're overfilling my cup." And the master stopped and smiled, as, you know, our wise people do. And he said, "Yes, yes, young man, and you are as this cup. You're so full with what you already know that there's no room for enlightenment." So we're really talking about coming to a process of this nature, these six passages of to an inspired life, coming there, not discounting all that we've learned and all that we've developed ourselves, you know, on our spiritual path, but at the same time coming with an open mind, or as the Zen Buddhists often refer to it, the beginner's mind itself. And that's really important, to be able to get the most value out of a guidebook of this nature, which is really formatted, you know, as a coaching model, really coaching the reader, you know, through these six passages.
I love one of your quotes in here. It says, "The human mind is like a pinata. When it breaks open, there's a lot of surprises inside. Once you get the pinata perspective, you see that losing your mind can be a peak experience." Okay, this is a good quote to use on the air. Losing your mind can be a peak experience.
Right.
And that's
right.
By Jane Wagner. But I, you know, there's so much that we go through, and you use a fictional couple called the Boomers, and they're a real nice couple. It's Bob and Barbara. And Bob is getting close to 60, and Barbara's in her 50s. Why did you choose that age instead of a younger couple? Why did you choose a mature couple as your fictional characters?
Well, I chose that couple, and again, while it's fictional, they're not fictional. They're really a compilation of many of the clients that I've worked with, you know, through the years that have been in similar situations to what the Boomers are in. And I think that was part of the reason. I think, you know, many people, while this book can be valuable for anybody from a 10-year-old up to a person 83 years of age, I think the people who are really looking for this deeper purpose and meaning, many of them are in the Boomer age range itself. They've been highly successful in many cases, you know, materially, and have a great lifestyle. But time and time again, I'm seeing so many people who that lifestyle is just not enough. There's still this kind of sense of something's missing, this deep sense of joy and satisfaction, the sense of that, you know, their life is making a difference itself. So that's why I chose to use the Boomers as the example that kind of followed them through the six passages.
You also have in your book, your life is always being shaped by something. There's never a time when it's not being shaped and molded. However, since most people aren't clear what their life purpose is, it's unlikely that that's what is shaping your life.
Exactly.
So being aware, being willing to be open, is like you said, you have this test, a self-test. It's something anybody can do. But it helps you to come to terms with who you are, where you are, and what is it that you maybe have yearned for and have found, just like you did with your writing, an environment that you can really be a part of, an environment you can be in, an environment that can enrich you and make your life purposeful. One of the things I think, in as much as you mentioned the baby boomers, I have encountered so many people, and when I talk to them as they're maturing, they cannot imagine retiring. They just, it's not in their head. It's not in their concepts. They just go, this isn't something that I'm going to be able to deal with. I'm not ready for it yet.
Yeah, and I think that's a very, you know, healthy approach. I think, you know, one of the things that we boomers, because I'm a boomer myself, I'm 58, we're redesigning the whole notion of what retirement is. And just like, you know, in the book, particularly in passage number 2, you know, I'm inviting people to rethink the whole notion of what a life purpose is. So often in the past, in our culture, everybody kind of has denoted that a life purpose is all about what one is here to do. And so in this, particularly in passage number two, we're offering a different possibility, and that is that your life purpose is much greater than just what you're here to do. It's this overarching context that can shape all of your life. It's more, in other words, it's more about who you are. What are your core values? What's the vision you see possible for yourself? And who are you at the very essence of your soul and spirit? And when those come together, and when you get clear about those answers to those questions, then that gives you access to this greater context of your life or your life purpose itself. And then that can be what shapes your life rather than the expectations of other people or what conventional wisdom says or what the news media says or all the other things that can tend to shape our life that isn't based in possibility but is based more in fear or a sense of lack or needing to struggle to survive, which is what we see when we read the papers these days or we look at the news. To me, that just demonstrates, you know, the evidence for that we're living in a world that's off purpose. That doesn't mean that we as individuals need to buy into that. We can live and design our own life to be a life consistent with our values and our vision and the essence of who we are.
I couldn't agree with you more. I like what you said, where you said we're not born knowing it. Most people don't understand it. Many misidentify it. Most don't know how to determine it. And the majority never find it. And that is life purpose, the most important question individuals must face and answer to achieve personal fulfillment and total health and wellness in all aspects. That does make such a difference. It really does. I know we're just about out of time. What is your website, Dr. Swift?
Our website is lifeonpurpose.com, where you can go and find out about the book and about, you know, the many other resources that we offer. You know, we really are committed to not have people just buy this book, but that they read the book, do the assignments. That's where the real value is. And, you know, get as much value out of it as possible. So we have coaches there that, you know, are available if they want additional support as well.
Well, I so appreciate your being on the air with me. Life on Purpose, Six Passages to an Inspired Life. There is a foreword by Robert Allen, who is the co-author of The 1 Minute Millionaire. If you want to put investment in yourself, you're your most valuable asset. If you want to do that, this is a book that I think can empower you as an individual. Dr. Brad Swift, again, thank you for being my guest. His wonderful book, Life on Purpose, his website, lifeonpurpose.com. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break in just a moment. Don't go away. We're going to be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. To Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Siebel. Telephone lines are now open, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Or Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And if you're a first-time listener to the Donna Siebel Show, I'm so delighted that you're joining us. I want you to know that all you need to do is give me your first name or initial when you call in, and I'll be happy to share with you my intuitive insights. In fact, let's show you how it's done right now. This is our first caller for the day. First name or initial, please, and where are you calling from?
Sue from Phoenix, Arizona.
From where in Arizona?
Phoenix.
Phoenix, okay. Yeah, your voice is sounding a little muffled to me, so I apologize. Okay, Sue, what I'm observing with you right off the bat is some kind of a setback. And when I'm looking at this setback, I'm seeing you sort of standing perplexed and going, what did I do wrong? Was there something that I missed? The answer is, no, you didn't do anything really wrong, but yes, you did miss something. And whatever this setback is, take it as a lesson, because it is having to do with being prepared. So whatever this is involving, or whoever it is involving, it is going to require your attention to a level of detail that maybe you've never had to pay attention to before. So be aware this is something that is not going to be devastating. It's not going to destroy everything in your life. It will make you more aware, however, that what you are going to need to pay attention to is going to be on a much different level than what you had previously experienced. And there's also going to be a need for quite an outlay of money. So there are some responsibilities and some costs that you are going to find yourself having to pay. So be aware that you want to be prudent with your money so that you're not going to be short on your cash flow, that you need to take care of some things that are going to be coming up. But you've got a very busy month here in October, so paying attention to the small stuff is going to make a big difference. What's on your mind? What would you like to ask me?
There's a person I'm collaborating with who has a huge amount of background and credentials. And I just recently met him in the summer, and we've been talking off and on and collaborating with and each other on a project. And I wonder if you saw the collaborator being someone that would be contribute to this, the success, the overall success of this project.
Well, I think you're going to have to really deal with facts. I think this person is very likable. I do think that they have some knowledge, but there needs to be an investigation on your part. You need to really know what it is that you want from this individual in the way of support, and you need to be able to check their credentials. You need to find that though they're likable, they're going to need to be trustworthy to a point where you and those other persons that will work with them will find that they are everything that they say that they are. So I think you've got some homework to do. And whatever it is you're collaborating on, I think it is still too vague. I think it is not as secured with information and what I would say facts as it needs to be. So the choice is going to be yours, but just do your homework.
Okay. Okay.
And I want to thank you for your call.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. This is Donna Siebel. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, the telephone number to call in to is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, I want to remind you, I'm going to be on the road traveling. Yes, this is going to be one traveling medium for a while. And I'm going to be in Southern California, in Alaska. I'm going to be in New York City. For those of you in any of those areas, you'll be able to see my newsletter posted up on my website. It'll probably be there tomorrow. And you'll be able to go in and see all of the dates on my calendar. And it's really quite amazing to me how already 2008 is beginning to fill up. So I'm just really going to find myself on the road quite a bit. But the show always is going to go on, and you will hear wonderful, wonderful guests, and we have a terrific lineup of people this week, so you're going to know about that too in a little bit. But if you want to call in to me and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, again, here are the telephone numbers to call in to 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Also, Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 815-9756. Do you have a feel about nature? There is a very good friend of mine who lives in California, in Southern California. I've known her for years, and one day we were out driving around, and this beautiful dragonfly came across the windshield of her vehicle, and she got so excited. She said, "Oh my goodness, that's my good luck charm." I said, "What good luck charm?" And she said, "The dragonfly. Whenever I see a dragonfly, I always feel something very special is going to happen. And oh, I feel it means good luck for you too." All of us, in our own way, look for symbols or signs of some type or another to give us support in whatever may be going on in our lives. And for those of you that have heard The Secret, you'll know, hear a story about a feather in that, and it also brings to mind Richard Bach, who wrote the book, Illusion. A little bit more about that after this phone call. Welcome to the show. This is Donna Sebo. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm Rebecca, and I'm calling from San Jose, California.
Ooh, one of my favorite places. San Jose is so beautiful.
Well,
all right, Rebecca, excuse me, I interrupted you.
No, go ahead.
All right. Rebecca, I am wanting you to pay attention when you're driving. You are daydreaming too much. Your mind is so busy that you can go from point A to point B and not have a clue about what's going on in between. Your concentration level, on one hand, is so outstanding, and on the other hand, it is going to be exceptionally necessary for you to pay attention on what's going on around you. So I want you to be alert, because what I'm seeing is traffic congestion that is going to be occurring. Of course, that's not unusual on the highways around San Jose. But what I'm looking at are concerns, because I'm seeing someone weaving in and out. And most of the traffic in front of you, you'll have plenty of time to stop. But this person that's weaving in and out of the lanes, this I do not like, because it could be very, very easy for you if you're wanting to shift over in a lane. It'd be too easy to have a close call. I'm not seeing an accident, but I want you to pay attention when you're driving.
Okay.
Also, all of your hard work, dear, that you're putting into developing a brand new direction in your life is going to pay off. You need to realize that the steps that you'll be taking for the changes that you want to demonstrate in your life, those steps are going to come gradually. And it's like I'm looking at a short stairway, and it's like five steps, so five levels that you're going to go through. And then seeing you sitting on the top of the level, and this is hysterical when I'm looking at it, you've got one of those super huge lollipops in your hand.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you're sitting there, and your legs are swinging, and you said, "I did it." And you look just like some kid out of an animated cartoon, and you're just feeling so good about what you've accomplished. I just love this. I mean, I rarely see those super-sized lollipops, but that's what you've got in your hand. So your hard work is definitely going to be paying off. What's on your mind? What did you want to ask me about today?
Well, I guess, like, the hard work thing is I kind of just get discouraged as to, God, it seems like the same old thing going on each day, but I don't have much patience, I guess. I guess the one thing is that I moved 4 years ago, and I still haven't unpacked everything. And I don't know if this is a question to ask or not, but what can motivate me to finally, like, move into where I live?
Have a party with some girlfriends and say, come on, I need some help, and we'll have fudge brownies with whipped cream or hot fudge sauce, whatever you prefer, and we're just going to party so I can get this stuff done.
Okay.
And there is a subliminal reason that you haven't unpacked.
That's what I need to know.
You have a perception that this is not your home where your roots are going to be put down.
Uh-huh.
You are correct. However, for you to graduate to the other steps that you want, you need to be able to make peace with where you are first.
Uh-huh.
So getting unpacked, getting things done, and then really look at what you're unpacking. Look at it and ask yourself, is this really what I want in my space? Is what I'm unpacking representative of who I am and where I see myself, maybe
uh-huh.
in a year?
Uh-huh.
And if it isn't, then have a garage sale.
Uh-huh. Well,
or give it away, whatever you want to do. But there is an awareness that there is going to be a relocation, but it's not right now.
Okay. Okay, I guess then the hard part is that getting rid of the stuff. I get stuck in just like almost not being able to move as far as even having a yard sale. You know what I mean? It's
talk
like
talk to somebody. Ask somebody. See what they say. You know, there's some stores that will sell stuff on eBay. There's other people, and maybe you just want to give it away.
Yeah, that's
a good
idea.
If you want to sell it, if you just want to give it away, believe me, there are thrift stores, take it as a tax write-off, maybe give it away, you know, in batches.
Okay.
But I am looking at you just doing absolutely fabulously.
Okay.
And I just, don't worry about it. You're not stuck.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome, Rebecca. You have a fabulous day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break for a moment here, and if you'd like to call in and let me light up your life with a little bit of insight, 876-5227, that's 877-876-5227 for the U.S. For Canadians, 888-815-9756, that's 888-815-9756. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss, book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna, and I want to let you know about my guests that we're going to be having on. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about spooks. Yes, we're going to be talking about the ghosts of St. Louis, Missouri. We're going to be discussing the Lemp Mansion, and I'm sure you have never heard of it. If you have, you probably know a little bit about the history. But we are going to be having a wonderful discussion about that tomorrow. And then on Thursday, we'll be talking with Stephen Joseph. Leadership Agility is going to be our topic, and it is a wonderful, wonderful publication. And then on Friday, we were talking about boomers earlier. Well, Nancy Mills is really going to give us the inside scoop on boomers, and it's significant because they affect every level of life. And, boy, we are going to find out more about that very significant age group economically and on other levels and what it does with our lives. So you won't want to miss that. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Telephone number to call in to is 877-876-5227 in the U.S. Canadians 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Before our last caller, I was talking with you about a friend who felt that the dragonfly was her good luck charm. Well, I have talked with people of different cultures from different points in the world, and it's fascinating how dependent on where we come from and what our environment has been, we adopt things that are beliefs, and we just feel good with them. And I mentioned Richard Bach, who is one of my favorite authors, and perhaps there are some of you that are acquainted with his wonderful, wonderful classic, Illusions. And Illusions is all about the ability of the mind and making choices, and it talks about a feather. Well, I found it interesting when I listened to The Secret that there also was a story about someone working on a feather and having it appear. Well, we've got another caller on the line, so we'll be carrying that topic forward a little bit after we finish with this caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
My name is Ryan. My last initial is P, and I'm calling from St. Louis, Missouri.
I'm sorry, Ryan. I couldn't hear where you were calling from.
I'm calling from St. Louis, Missouri.
St. Louis, Missouri. Oh, good. We're going to be talking about the Lemp Mansion. I bet you know all about it.
I'm not aware, actually.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, tomorrow you'll find out if you want to listen. And let's get busy with you, Ryan. I am very much aware that there is a level of business expertise that you would like to develop. You have some people that really believe in you and in your capabilities. Your potential means a lot to them. And you are in a bit of a quandary because you have an objective that you would like to achieve, and you're concerned that you may disappoint them because you don't want to follow their dream or their desires for you as they are stating them. And what I would like for you to understand is that you're in a learning curve. Learn from the people who are supportive of you and don't make promises to them that you really don't want to make, but help them to understand that you have a different perspective than they do, but you respect and appreciate them and you want to learn from them everything that they have to teach you. This will keep the learning curve that you are going through to about a 2.5 year period. You're then going to see exactly where you want to put yourself and how you want to have your life go. And the direction is going to be of your own design. Those people who have been mentors for you may be a little bit disappointed and or concerned, but as you demonstrate your success with what you are aspiring to do, you will find that they will congratulate you, and you will be able to say to them with tremendous honesty that it's because of what they were willing to share with you that you were able to become the person that you are. And this means for the future results of success as well. Do keep up your writing. You will not be unhappy with sharpening and honing that skill. It will serve you very, very well. Do you have a question for me, Ryan?
Well, I guess immediately the choice that's laid out for me right now is some missionaries came to my house, and it's a different interpretation of what I feel is true, but nevertheless is what I feel is true. And I'm wondering if they are going to be something that's going to help me get where I'm going.
I think for you that it's good that you have encountered people who have a different belief system. There's nothing wrong with that. The key is that you must think for yourself. And part of your journey is to be able to explore. You'll find a lot of people that will say, my way is the only way. This is the only way this can be achieved or accomplished, and that is not the truth. But if you try to avoid exploration of differences, you're going to find yourself very blindsided, and that is not what you want. You want to be able to listen to other people, and if they really believe in what they are talking about, that's wonderful, but you don't have to. It can show you where you don't want to go, and then you can say, all right, this isn't something that I prefer, so let me explore another angle. Let me look at something else. Be open and receptive to your own clarity, to your own awareness of who you are. You will not ever find yourself being misled by anyone if you trust yourself. And that's part of what you're learning. That's part of what you're learning. And it's never easy. It's never, ever easy, because we are indoctrinated on so many levels from the very moment we take our first breath in this life. So to unlearn that which is no longer suitable for us is a challenge. It's really a challenge. So don't be afraid of this journey. It's not a bad one. It's a good one.
I agree.
Does that help?
It does help. A lot of it is exactly what I feel.
Good. Just be true to yourself and trust yourself. And always appreciate and respect other people's beliefs. You don't have to live as they live. You don't have to do what they do. But everyone is entitled to their own opinion and to live their life in their way as they choose.
Yeah.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, Ryan, and thank you for calling in. This is Donna Sebo, and I know we don't have very much time. Don't forget, we are going to be talking about ghosts tomorrow of St. Louis, Missouri. So you'll have a chance to learn something. And for those of you who are listening in St. Louis, we're delighted to share it with you if you don't know anything about it, because it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to doing that. Now, again, I was talking about the dragonfly and how we have opinions. You know, in Japan, a dragonfly represents strength, courage, and victory, which is why samurais put the image on their armor. Now, yeah, they say if you're nervous about a major task, the insect is a sign that you've got what it takes. Now, that's in Japan. Now, how about an eagle? Oh, boy, aren't they magnificent birds? Well, eagles are associated with wisdom because they fly higher than any other bird. If you can look at a situation from an eagle's lofty perspective, it's easier to make the right choices. And sometimes, if you just think, if you want to see things more clearly, maybe you just need to rise above it and get a better view. So thinking about an eagle is really a good symbol. And there's so many different cultures that have different aspects of understanding about an eagle. Well, I wanted to share those two with you, and I've got some more good things to share, but it looks like we are just about out of time. So this lady will be back with you bright and sassy tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Tell your friends about the show. And remember, you can always go to the archives and listen to those that you've missed. Isn't that wonderful that we're able to provide that for you? You are the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You have a life of purpose, and you will have a wonderful journey exploring to find what it is. Don't be afraid to open that door to the adventure of self-discovery. This is Donna Sebo. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.